The Bible says this, Matthew 27, chapter 27, verse 28, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they gather him there. Matthew 27, 28 says this, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. I want you to notice just the way of interdiction, first of all, about it. The Bible says, and they stripped him. I want you to realize this morning, and I think you know this, who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're talking about God manifest in the flesh. The Bible's very clear. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh. Now, all the new Bibles change there. They take the word God out, and they put the word He in there, and make it He appeared in a body. He could be anywhere. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ was God manifests in the flesh. And that day he came down this earth, the Bible said they stripped him. Jesus Christ, when he came down this earth, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was much God as he was man. He was as much man as he was God. But he came down this earth to die for the sins of man. And the only way he could do it, Miss Annie Mae, was they'd have to strip him of his deity, strip him of that power that he had. And that Bible said they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. We sing that song sometimes. It's a good song. He could have called 10,000 angels to set him free. Y'all heard that? He could have called 10,000 angels to come and set him free. But let me tell you something, my friend. He didn't have to call 10,000 angels to come and set him free. All he had to do, Miss Rachel, is open up his mouth. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, when he comes back, it says, the Lord shall consume them with the spirit of his mouth. Revelation chapter 19 says, when he comes back, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, with it that he'll smite the nations. All he could have done is open his mouth, because on that cross, and the one they stripped that day, I want you to know, that was God manifest in the flesh. That was the Son of God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning that He was God manifest in the flesh. And the only way they could have put that scarlet robe on Him for Him to go through the things that He went through and die on the cross, He had to lay aside His deity that day. I got a message. Five things God cannot do. And the first thing God cannot do is God cannot die. He's from inhabiting eternity. And the only way for God to die on the cross for our sins is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to come down this earth and become a man and go through with what you and I did, and to die on that cross as a man, that He suffered death for all men, for by one man's disobedient sin in the world, and by one man's obedience, we were all set free by the death of Jesus Christ. I love that song, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain" by Charles Wesley. That's a great song we sing here sometimes. And that verse says in there, it said, He left His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace. And it said, emptied Himself of all but love, and died for Adam's helpless race. Jesus Christ emptied Himself, and they stripped Him, and they put on Him a scarlet robe. You say, who was that? That was God manifest in the flesh. That song by Charles Wesley says, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldest die for me? I want to say they stripped Him this morning and put on Him a scarlet robe. And I want to preach a little bit this morning on the scarlet robe. I want to give you a few things, three things this morning real quick about that robe. I want to say first of all about that scarlet robe. I want to say the word scarlet. If you know your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I can give you many verses. Isaiah chapter 1. About that word scarlet in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 1. Says it, I know everybody knows it by heart, should. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says this, Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now, here's God talking to me and you. Come now, let us reason together. God's reasonable. God said, come now, let us reason together. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know what that means? That means your sins are really bad. That word scarlet, according to Webster's dictionary, says this about scarlet: sinning in flagrant in scarlet fashion, grossly and glaring, offensive and great sin. And that color scarlet throughout humanity has been connected to immorality and sin. Prostitution, houses of prostitution, they've been called the red light district. There's a book called The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. It was a book that dealt with adultery and sin. And I want to say the scarlet robe that Jesus Christ wore was the scarlet robe of sin. Jesus Christ wore the scarlet robe of sin. Well, there in Joshua chapter 2, there's a Rahab. The Bible tells us about that scarlet thread that she hung out that showed that she was a prostitute, a harlot. And that scarlet thread was a cord that could climb up. That's how big it was. I read in Revelation chapter 17 where the mother of harlots and abomination, the Bible said she was clothed in scarlet. That word scarlet is connected to sin in your Bible. And it's the color of sin and abomination. And I want to say this morning that the Son of God, He wore that scarlet robe of my sins today. That He wore that scarlet robe to bear the sins of you and I. Remember, Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. And boy, man can mess up anything, can't they, Brother Robert? Listen, he had a good deal. He had to work. He is married to the most beautiful woman in the whole world. She is married to the most beautiful man in the whole world. I mean, who could mess up a deal like that, Miss Rachel? But man. Man could tear up anything. And you know what happens? God said, hey, y'all got it made. Y'all do anything you want to do. Only don't eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And you know what they do, Miss Martha? You've had kids. First thing you tell them not to do, that's the thing they're going to do. To the way they are. And they did. And you know what happened? They sinned. They knew they were naked. And God cart walking in the day. And the Bible said that Adam and Eve saw they were naked. Their eyes were open. And the Bible said they took a fig leaves and they sewed off aprons trying to cover up their nakedness. And the Bible said they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Before that, they was fellowship with God. When that sin came in, Bob, they tried to hide from God. They tried to cover up their nakedness. And you know what God did in His love and His mercy? The Bible said this in Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam and also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The first blood that was ever shed on this earth, you know what it was? It was shed to cover the nakedness of man. God that day killed an innocent animal. Proverbs chapter 27 said the lambs are for that clothing. That day He killed an innocent lamb, a picture of Jesus Christ, and He covered and clothed the sins of mankind. And there was a picture of Jesus Christ coming in, and He wore that scarlet robe because of my nakedness and my sin before God. You know, mankind's the only animal. We're the only animal that don't provide for our own clothing. Y'all know that? My dog's got a nice coat on her. I mean, brother, you couldn't buy a coat like that dog. You know what? We have to kill something to be clothed. Something has to die somewhere along. Something has to be sheared. Something has to go. You say, why? To cover the nakedness of man, brother. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ wore the scarlet robe of sin to cover our sins. When it came upon the scene, John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 1:18 for it says, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Isaiah 53:7 says about Jesus Christ that He was a lamb led to the slaughter. He was the Lamb of God. He wore the scarlet robe of sin to pay for my sins. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus Christ never sinned. Jesus Christ had never evil thought. Nothing evil ever came out. He was a sinless Lamb of God. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He that knew no sin became sin for us. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this morning, He wore that scarlet robe of sin. He wore that scarlet robe, let me be specific, of my sins. He was called. He paid for my sins in that scarlet robe they placed upon Him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 says this. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even here too were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. Watch it. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Jesus Christ walked this earth 33 years as a sinless man, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. Watch verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness. By stripes we're healed. I want to say that day when He put on that scarlet robe is a picture of Him when that day He wore our sins to the cross of Calvary. 1 John 2:2 says He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, it says this, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 5:7 said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from sin. Every sin that's ever been committed will ever be committed according to the Word of God. The sinless Son of God took them and wore them that day, and they were placed upon Him that day. Last week we was watching TV, and man's depraved. You know what? They're wicked. They're vile. There's a man, Shelby County, me and my wife was watching, and he molested, sexually molested and tortured his 16-month-old baby. We saw that. And there's a man there that took a pistol, it said, and shot and killed his 2-year-old daughter, put a pistol to her head. And we were reading that, hearing that, me and my wife said, those poor little babies. And I was thinking, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He died for every single sin, as bad as all those sins were, that day when He wore that scarlet robe of sins. He died for the sins of the whole world, the Bible said. They placed that scarlet robe for my sins upon Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Take your Bible, flip over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible here, by the way. We forget about sin sometimes, how bad it is. We forget about, the Bible said, Miss Leah has quoted to me the other day, over there in James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Bible says another place, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The sins we have, you and I sinned enough this morning, probably before we got to church, that we could have damned the whole human race, brethren. One time I heard about this man, he had a dream, Brother Chris. And in his dream, there's a man with a bag, on a big bag on his back, and he's carrying this bag, and he's falling down. The bag was so heavy, and he's getting back up, and he's falling down with the bag. And he's getting back up with the bag, and he's going up a mountain. He's trying to climb this mountain, and he had this bag on his back. In his dream, he kept dragging and falling, and he got looking closer to the dream, and the dream was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, these are the sins. I got to get these sins up to Calvary. I got to get these sins to Mount Calvary. And in that dream, the man said, Lord, is that the sins of the whole world? He said, oh no, these are just your sins right here. You know what he did that day when he wore that scarlet robe? He wore my sins, and my sins were placed upon him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ became sin for us. He wore the scarlet robe for my sins. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He never sinned. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a great verse. That verse teaches what they call the doctrine of imputation. You see that day, and I give this illustration when I talk to people about the witness to them. See that day when God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, God put all the sins on Him. That day, and when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God takes all those sins that's on me, my sins, and He put them on His Son. And when He sees me, you know what He sees? He sees a pure, sinless Son of God. And the Bible said He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Our sins were put on Him that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the only way for me and you to be righteousness of God is for God to take those sins off us, Miss Rachel, and they put them on Him that day, and He wore that scarlet robe of my sins. There's that song we sing sometime. I stand in amazement in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Second verse of that song says this: He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He took my sins and my sorrows and He made them His very own. They put upon Jesus Christ that day my sins. And that scarlet robe was a picture of my sins that day. Not only that, I'll tell you something about that scarlet robe. There's a scarlet robe of sins. My sins that put upon Him. And not only that, that word scarlet comes from the root word scar. It means scar. Jesus Christ bore my scars in that scarlet robe. The Bible said they stripped Him and they put on Him a scarlet robe. Before they went through all that, take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 26, flip to Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 15. Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 15. I want to say He wore the scarlet robe of my scars that day. Matthew chapter 26, verse 67. Matthew 26, 67. And look at Mark chapter 15. He wore the scarlet robe. That scarlet word scarlet comes from the word scars. And Jesus Christ had those scars. Paul said one time in the book of Galatians, he said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about those scars on his back where he was beaten and whipped. Paul was beat three times. One time it's over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Jesus Christ wore the scarlet robe of my scars that day. Look at Matthew 26 verse 67. The Bible said they spit in His face. They spit in His face and they buffeted Him. They were hitting Him. Buffeted means they hit Him. And others smote Him with the palms of their hands. You say, who was that? There was the Son of God saying, "Prophesy unto thou Christ. Who is He that smote thee?" Look at Mark chapter 15, verse 15. They beat Him. They beat Him with their hand. Luke chapter 22 says they would come by and they would blindfold Him. And they put a blind upon Him, Brother Robert. And they put that blindfold on Him. And they'd go by Him and they'd hit Him in the face with their hand. And they'd say, "Hey, you're a prophet. Who was it that hit you? Prophesy. Who was it that hit you?" You know when He wore that scarlet robe of my scars that day. Mark chapter 15 says this. This is found many times in the Bible. Mark 15, 15. "And so Pilate was willing to content the people, release Barabbas unto them, and deliver Jesus." And the Bible says this. "And when he had scourged Him to be crucified." That word scourge is not a word to be taken lightly. That word scourge means to whip severely and to lash. It means to afflict greatly and torment it and injure. That's what it means. And the Romans, the way they would whip a man, what they did to Jesus Christ, they would take Him and they would strip off all His clothing like they did. And they would take and they would tie Him up and stretch His hands up on a pole like this, as high as they could, in order to stretch His skin so His skin would tear a lot easy. Then he'd rear back. They'd take a whip, had an 18-inch handle on it. And it was called a cat of nine tails. And it had six or seven pieces of leather, about 7 or 8 feet long.
And that cat of nine tails would have that leather. At the end of the leather, it had a metal ball on the end of it, Miss Rachel. And that metal ball was used when they'd take that whip and they'd whip that man, let it bruise and break his ribs and break his skin. And at the end of that whip, they also had iron nails at the end of the whip. Why, they called it a cat of nine tails. And they'd take that whip with the metal balls and those nails, and they'd take a man tied to that pole, and they'd take that whip and stand back, and they'd whip him, and that pole, that whip would come through and rip open his skin. Many times his intestines would come out. They said many times those men would be whipped. The backbone, their back would be sticking through where they'd been beaten. They'd lay 39 stripes on them with that cat of nine tails. That's what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say He wore my scarlet robe of my scars that day. Take your Bible. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 50. They beat Him so bad, scarred Him so much. A lot of men didn't even survive. You remember Jesus Christ was beaten so bad, He couldn't even carry His cross. They had to get Simon of Cyrene and go over there and carry His cross because He was so weak after they got beaten. You see, why did He do that, preacher? Because He wore my scars that day. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, great chapter in the Word of God, the Old Testament, tells about the Lord Jesus Christ, how He was a lamb led to the slaughter. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 says this, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised, we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem Him smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace are upon Him, and it said, with His stripes we are healed." That's a spiritual healing. That's those whippings that He took. He had to be beat for our scars, for our spiritual healing. Turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Flip over a couple of pages. I want to say He wore that scarlet robe of my sins this morning. He wore that scarlet robe this morning of my scars. "By His stripes you are healed." Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Son of God, the one that died on this cross, came down this earth, left the glory of heaven, God's darling, God's the glory and image of God, came down this earth and beat like that. You say, why, preacher? Because He loved you that much. That's why. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, "I gave my back to the smiters." That's that scourging. That's that beating they did to Him. "And they, my cheeks of them, they plucked off from the hair." The Bible tells us that they went over there and they pulled the beard and pulled the... They ran over there and would pull the hair off His face and plucked off His beard. And He said, "I hid not. I hid not from the shame and the spitting there." I'm going to tell you, He said, who was that? That was the Son of God wearing my scarlet robe for my scars. I could go on and on and on. There's a preacher who lived years ago. His name lived in the 1700s. His name was Alexander White. He was a great old Scottish preacher, one of the most famous preachers of his day. And Alexander White brought revival in Scotland, one of the greatest preachers Scotland ever produced. And Alexander White, he told it like it was. He lived in the 1700s, back when men could preach. Alexander White said one time, "Brother Benny," he "had a dream. And in that dream, it was he saw the Lord Jesus Christ up on that whipping post. And he saw Him there and saw the soldier rearing back with that cat of nine tails and coming in there, lashing the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time he lashed, the flesh would fall off and the flesh would fly down and the blood would spat and it'd rip open his body. And in that dream, Alexander White saw that and he was screaming and he ran to that soldier and he grabbed him and he said, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" And when that soldier turned around and looked at him, that soldier had the face of Alexander White. His face. You know who put Him on that cross? You know who? Why He put those scars on Him? You say, why, preacher? Those were my scars. Those were for my sins. He went there. He wore that scarlet robe. "By His stripes we're healed." It took those scars. Not only that, there's a scarlet robe of sin. There's a scarlet robe of those scars. And scarlet is also the color and the symbol, symbolic of blood. That Christian flag over there has a scarlet cross on it, a picture of Jesus Christ. Matthew 26:28, Jesus at the Last Supper said, "This is my blood which is shed for the remissions of sins." Hebrews 9:22, he said, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remissions." Over and over and over. Revelation 1:5 says, "In him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." I want to say that scarlet robe was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Already gave you how that they beat him, how they took that cat of nine tails and whipped him nearly to death. How they, after they put that robe on him, you know what they did? They took a crown of thorns. It was 3 inches in those thorns and that crown, and they jammed them down in his head, and the blood ran down his face from those thorns jabbed in his head. I want to say this morning, he wore the scarlet robe of that shed blood for you and I. That robe, let me tell you, that thing was soaking in the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18, "I gave you, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." There's that scarlet robe of his shed blood. Isaiah 53 that we just saw a little bit earlier. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53, I believe it's verse 7, it said that he was a lamb led to the slaughter. You know what the word slaughter means? I looked it up. It's what it says. It says to kill in a bloody or violent manner. He was a lamb that was led to the slaughter. They literally slaughtered him that day. You say, why, preacher? For me and you. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was literally slaughtered, the Lamb of God. Isaiah 56 we read over there. They literally went over there and they pulled the beard from His cheeks when they put that old scarlet robe on Him. You know what? By that time He'd been beaten all that time, Miss Rachel. They placed a crown of thorns upon Him and had blood all through His body. You know what that scarlet robe? It was soaked and dripping in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That scarlet robe of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52 and Psalm 22. I'm about to be through here in a little bit. Give me a few more. Isaiah chapter 52. Psalms chapter 22. When they beat the Lord Jesus Christ, He was beat according to the Word of God like no other man. Isaiah chapter 52 says this. Isaiah 52, verse number 14. Isaiah 52:14 says this, talking about Jesus Christ. And it says this, "As many were astonished at thee." The Bible says His visage, that's His face, His visage was marred more than any other man. In other words, they tore and beat His face up and tore Him up so much that He was beat more. He was marred than any other man. And His form more than the sons of man. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 1, it's crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And it's telling of Jesus Christ. And when it gets to Psalm chapter 26, Jesus Christ was beaten so bad on that cross, He said, "I'm a worm." He said, "I'm not even a man." By this time, they'd beaten Him so bad. Isaiah 53:2 says this, "He hath no form nor comeliness." He was beaten so bad, there was no form nor comeliness. His visage was more marred than any other man. You say, why in the world did He do that, preacher? For me and you. To keep us out of hell. His visage was marred more than any other man. J. Vernon McGee in his commentary, one of them says, talks about that. He said this, he said Jesus did not even look human. He said He was just a bloody piece of quivering human flesh. He said it was so bad it was unspeakable. His visage was so marred more than any man. He tells this, he said, "When I was a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, there was a wonderful man in the church board who was a captain of the fire department. He said early one morning when the fire alarmed, the fireman responded to the call on the way to the fire, the hook and the hook ladder. He was rolling by, hit a milk truck and flipped over. The men riding on it were dragged along the asphalt." Those men, that truck was dragged along the asphalt. J. Vernon McGee said, I received a call about 5 o'clock in the morning, was told that he was in hospital. He was still alive when I arrived. When I looked at him, I saw that his face was so marred that I couldn't even recognize him. He said, all I could see was a mouth, and I could tell he was breathing. He didn't last very long. In an hour's time, he was gone. And he said this, many times since then, I've thought of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was more marred than any man, which means that he had more marred than this captain of this fire of this company. He was just a piece of quivering human flesh. That is what my Lord went through on the cross for me. What he said. That scarlet robe that day, that thing was soaked and dripping. Well, all he went through when they put it on him was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19 verse 11 says, when Jesus Christ comes back, it talks about heaven open. And he came back on a white horse. I saw heaven open. He came back on a white horse. And his eyes were flame of fire. He had on his head a hand, many crowns. He had a name written that no man himself. And it said he had a vesture. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. You know what that scarlet robe he wore that day was, Miss Annie Mae? All that beating, all that blood he shed on that boy. When they were beating him, they put that scarlet robe on after that. That thing was soaking and it was dripping in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why did he do all that, preacher? He did that to keep you out of hell is why he did it. Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, Terry, Chris, whosoever believeth in him, not a church, not this church, not baptism, not works. Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. What he did on the cross of Calvary. Revelation 1:5, one of my favorite verses, says, Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That song we sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoices to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And they stripped him and they put him on a scarlet robe. That scarlet robe of my sins. That scarlet robe of my scars. And that scarlet robe of his shed blood. You say, why, preacher? To keep me out of hell. Give me a hope to heaven. Like Brother Bob Smith went home to be with the Lord this week. What a blessing. You say, how do you know that's true, preacher? Because of what Jesus Christ did. It's not Brother Bob Smith what he did. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. There's a lady. Her name was Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte Elliott, she lived in the 1700s. She was born in 1789. She died in 1871. She lived to be 82 years old. Her name was Charlotte Elliott. She lived in England. Her grandfather was a very famous preacher of the day. Her father was a preacher. Her brothers were preachers. Her whole family was Christians and they loved the Lord. And she grew up wanting to serve the Lord. And Charlotte had an amazing ability to write and different things. And she wrote poems and different things to the Lord and everything. And had so much of her life looking ahead of her. And at 32 years of age, Miss Rachel, she had a severe illness and a disability. At 32 years of age, she never got up out of that bed. She lived to be 82. For over 50 years, Charlotte Elliott laid in that bed. She had so many plans in life. And she came very depressed, Charlotte Elliott did. She became very angry. They said she had fits of rage. She'd get so mad. And she had a good friend of hers, a man who was a famous hymn writer. His name was Caesar Milan during that day. And Caesar Milan said, Charlotte, why don't you take that anger and that frustration and put it to writing hymns to the Lord? And she did. She wrote over 150 hymns. She became well known in her day for a hymn writer. She actually edited several hymn books and put them together. Did a great work for the Lord.
And one day when she was laying there in bed and she moved in, had to live with her brother. Her brother had to take care of her, and he pastored a church and had some kids. And here this poor lady, Miss Rachel, 50 years, she laid in that bed. One day she was laying in that bed, and her brother and his family had went to church, and the church was having a big picnic and a gay time that day. And here Charlotte was, day in and day out, laying in that bed. And those fits of depression and anger and helplessness and hopelessness come into her. And like that friend of hers told her, she took her piece of paper out, and she took her pencil out, pen, and began musing and thinking of the Lord. And she remembered a sermon her pastor preached. In that sermon it said this: come to Christ just as you are. And she started thinking about that song and musing. And she wrote the first words to that hymn. She wrote, "Just as I am, without one plea." That's where she was. She was totally hopeless, helpless. She's never going to get out of that bed. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Thou biddest me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come." You ever read that song? That song's amazing. One part tells a lot about her life. "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt." That's where she was. "Fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind." That's what she was going through. "Yet all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come." God took that song, took that poor lady disabled in that bed, and He gave her the greatest invitation hymn that's ever been written. Dwight L. Moody took that song. Billy Sunday took that song. Billy Graham took that song. And I guarantee you, more people got up out of their altar and walked down the altar to the sound of "Just as I am, without one plea," than any other song in the history of this world. Say why? A disabled lady there that reached out to God. They stripped him that day, and they put on him a scarlet robe. That scarlet robe, the scarlet robe of my sins. My sins, not he never sinned. That scarlet was a picture of sin. Scarlet robe of my scars. That word scarlet has the word scar. And that scarlet robe of his precious blood he wore that day. So why did he do that, preacher? Because he loved me and you that much. Let's take our hymn books this morning. I want you to take your green hymn book. Let's turn to page number 270 in the green book. I ask you to stand this morning. We're going to sing "Just as I Am, Without One Plea." Why don't you look at the words of this song? Think about that precious lady and all the things she went through. And God gave her this amazing song. God spoke to you this morning, whatever it might be. Maybe you need to come.